ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, bro! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and partner in crime, Dave Palumbo. Dave, we are right before the Phoenix Pro Show, the first show of the season, getting ready to kick off the 2010 bodybuilding competitive season. And the excitement's starting to build, and you're getting ready to get on an airplane.
Well, before I get on an airplane, I got to say happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there, even though it's the day after. But, you know, I got to say I did absolutely nothing for Valentine's Day. I had no one send me anything, a couple of text messages and emails maybe. But we did a little recording in the gym for the intro to the TV show, which should be great.
Yep.
And I'm psyched about that. That's going to become a reality very shortly. Hopefully this week we will have the first show edited and possibly put up online. And now we're doing the radio show here. So this was a work Valentine's Day for us. You know?
This is the first Heavy Muscle Radio show from the new studio.
That's true. And I feel very comfortable in here, I must say. And it's very spacious. And we're not on top of each other. Jeff's
in way over there
in his booth. How are you doing, Jeff, the producer?
This is unbelievable. Like I said before,
he's great. Got his own little section over there.
So far away.
He's got to feel. You got to feel important, Jeff. Now
I was looking at the wall. I'm going to put a sign up.
Yeah, you see, that's your wall. You can decorate that anywhere.
You actually have a chair with a desk. Yeah. And, you know, you're not sitting on the floor as usual.
And he's on a platform too.
But no, I'm going to be honest. I miss your dogs, man.
It's like, I know we may have to bring him in for like, this is no purposes. Good.
Can we just record the barking and you can just push the button?
It's not the same. I have to hold Abby.
Abby has to sit in his lap. Yeah.
Stroke her belly.
Yeah, it's like almost a relaxation technique. Exactly.
It's Jeff's Valentine.
Now, I don't know if you heard, Jeff. Diego B. Has starter problems, so he hasn't been showing up lately.
Oh, well, I hope his girlfriend is not too happy about the starter issue. If I can't get it up, then I cannot satisfy, especially on Valentine's Day after.
Wow. Yeah, he's supposed to get the starter fixed today. I never heard of anyone who goes to an auto repair shop on Valentine's Day on Sunday.
Who has girlfriends? I don't have girlfriends. I go to the shop on Christmas, Colombian Valentine's Day is every day of the week.
I think what's happening is he knows the workers who sweep the shop in the back.
Yes.
And he snuck his car in there on Sunday and they're fixing it for him.
He probably got a sponsorship from the garage.
I got sponsors right now. I sponsored by this confetti on the floor. It's great.
Brutal Alchemy is sponsoring the repair of his cars.
I would like to thank Brutal Alchemy especially for everything you have not done for me.
For fixing my starter.
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, well, aside from Diego, everyone was in the gym. We got Jeff had a little sleeping problem, but we'll get him in there anyway.
Yeah.
And Derek, despite pulling this guinea stuff on me, where he's got, you know, I gotta have the Sunday Italian dinner, and it, despite all that, he did make it out there.
Oh, you're gonna have 18 texts after he listens to this show.
Actually, Mr. G was probably the star of the intro. I don't want to even. The story about it is probably better than the actual intro will come out because I figured, John, you know, we were thinking how everyone's got to do something that kind of, you know, signifies who they are, and Mr. G is always with the whole wrestling persona.
Right.
So I suggested he jump off the top rope at Bev's gym, and then they got the ring there. And Steve thought it was kind of amusing himself. Steve Weinberger thought it was all for it. So we get. You weren't there, were you? Are you there? You were there. Yeah, you were there.
Okay. I was hitting the bag while he was doing
That's right. He gets up on the top ring, you know, for our listeners who aren't there. And he takes his shirt off and he's got that big cross around his neck, you know. And he puts his yellow boa on like Hulk Hogan, and he's gonna jump like belly flop into the ring. So of course I have to like give him some motivation. I tell him, you know, pretend you're Mickey Rourke from The Wrestler.
Right.
So, you know, he's hitting his elbows like, you know, in the movie, you know, and he's doing Steve Weinberg is like doing everything to stop laughing out loud.
He came out of his office actually. Yeah. He came back there and sat down to watch.
He's very amused by those guys. Yeah. I don't know if he was amused. He wanted to see what they were doing as much as he wanted to make sure they didn't like destroy the gym or
protecting his investment.
It was probably a little of both.
Right.
So Mr. G obviously does a practice jump and this cross that weighs about 8 pounds around his neck slashes his nose and blood starts dripping down his nose, which is almost like perfect for, the, know, for what totally he's doing. Perfect.
I was telling him, push and squeeze it, make more blood come out.
You're trying to like antagonize. Meanwhile, Steve Weinberg doesn't want blood all over the ring of his new gym that he built back there.
I kept telling Mr. G to do a layout backflip off the top rope and not worry about the landing because he didn't film that.
I have to just say one thing. I saw the movie Avatar, John.
And you finally saw it?
I saw it in 2D, not 3D. I didn't, you know, it's funny. When I went to dinner with Max yesterday, he was telling me that you guys went down the block. I didn't even know they had it down the block. Yeah. For some reason, that Seaford Theater does not advertise like on Movie Phone or Fandango.
Yeah, and it's on Movie Phone.
I didn't see it. I put in the closest theater, and it was Roosevelt Field. So I went there, and it was in 2D, which I'm glad because I don't like to wear the glasses anyway. And I got to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked the movie. I didn't know anything about it before I saw it, and I actually liked the whole concept. I thought it was great.
Weren't you just dying for the tail and the girl one to go up a little bit?
Yeah, there wasn't enough sex scenes in there, but other than that,
she was hot. I mean, there was something about her. Plus, they're like 7 feet tall.
It's like a Jungle Fever thing going on. Yeah,
definitely. But weren't you impressed with the effects and how colorful it was? Almost like you were tripping on acid watching that thing.
But what I was impressed with was the different dinosaurs or animals in the thing, and the different I guess, like you said, the sets, all the flowers and plants. It
all
was
the
like
colors and the.
I mean, it must have taken a long time to figure out all the foliage and all the creatures because they were very involved. It was not like a lion that just looked a little different. These were like really involved creatures.
And they had the way they interacted with the humanoids, whatever you want to call them, with the avatars, with the way the hair or the ponytail connected to the
horse
and whatever all the animals, birds. I really enjoyed the visual aspect of it. It was probably more intense because we were watching it in 3D.
Yeah,
but a couple of the scenes, like when they were climbing those rocks, to climb up to get to where those birds were to claim their bird, the idea of being on another planet was so convincing at that point.
Now, Jeff usually knows a lot about these comic book or video game movies. Now, what was the synthesis of Avatar? Was this originally a video game?
No. This is just a concept movie.
This is James Cameron doing acid, and this is what he saw.
I mean, he got the story from something, but not from a comic that I know of.
Because, I mean, this is a lot of involved characters in this thing.
A lot of imagination that went into that.
It was cool. It was fun. That's why I told you it was fun to watch.
Yeah, no, it was good. And then I went to my Super Bowl party. Obviously, we taped the show last week before the Super Bowl, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it. I'm not going to really go into too much detail because it was a very illegal party. It was a lot of alcohol and drugs and hookers and stuff like that. I didn't get involved with any of that, but I watched the game.
Dave, you just watched the game. What about Jeff? Did he go?
No, Jeff didn't go. I actually wound up going myself. Really? I had a good time. These guys were fun guys. They were just regular working guys, they just were having fun. And it was one of the best Super Bowl parties I've been to, at least. I wish I could have brought a camera.
Drugs and hookers, you could have been watching anything and it would have been great. You could have been watching reruns of Night Court.
I brought a bottle of wine, one of the bottles that Sally Ann sent us,
that high test wine.
And I drank it. That's all I did. I didn't need to do anything else, and it felt great.
Wow.
And everyone kept asking me how much I'm betting, and I don't bet, John, but one guy bet $8,000 on Indianapolis Colts, which, looked like they were going to win the game, and at the end they blew it, and then this kid was like ready to kill himself, basically. Wow. So, it was interesting. There was a lot of characters there.
I'll bet.
Everyone had like something going on,
How'd the hookers look?
I think there was one girl they had there. I don't know. She was in the other room the whole time. I didn't really know. She was like an attractive black lady.
John, I didn't even notice her. Says Dave.
I really, to tell you the truth, when I got there, she was there already, and guys were in the other room with her, and I didn't see her the whole time,
And what kind of drugs were there?
There was everything there, basically.
All the whole alphabet?
You could have the whole alphabet there. Whatever you wanted, pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
There was they were doing, guys were dropping ecstasy, they were...
Vitamin E, vitamin K.
They were snorting K. I didn't see any, I don't think there was any cocaine there or anything, or G, but there was other stuff there.
Cocaine is such a letdown when you have ecstasy, GHB, ketamine,
Bill Maher always said, I was watching, he had a live special yesterday, and he's like, that's like the stupidest drug ever created. Like, why would you want to become more anxious and irate? Do drugs, you want to relax.
Right.
He's a big pothead, he's a big, and he likes mushrooms too, yeah, Bill Maher.
Mushrooms are good. Mushrooms and pot together are good.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Well, anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Phoenix Pro, because you did mention it, and it is coming up this weekend. It is the first pro show of the year. Stryker Solomon, who will be on the show a little later, is the promoter, and he'll be giving us all the rigmarole as what's going to be going on for that weekend. It's a strictly pro show. It's men's open, men's 202, women's bodybuilding, fitness, and figure. I'd like to know why they didn't put bikini there. It seemed like you threw everything else in there. We'll have to ask him. We're going to break down the men's show a little later with Lonnie Teeper, the Swami. We'll be finding out how guys like Melvin Anthony and Troy Alves and Tony Freeman, Quincy Taylor, Mike Liberatore, all these guys might stack up. Lonnie has all his predictions. But I want to talk about the women's bodybuilding show a little bit, because they haven't really been mentioned too much. It was kind of nice that Stryker didn't include the women's bodybuilding, because there's not many shows like this for the year. Aside from the Arnold and the Olympia, there's only like two or three other ones.
Right.
And so I thought it was good that they involved it. Now, the lineup is not as stacked, or started out not being as stacked as it should be, but when push comes to shove, you know, we were talking to Ed Pariso, and his wife Betty is entering. She's a top five Olympia competitor. Sure. She's got to be probably one of the favorites. And then at the last minute, Yoxani Oroquin threw her hat into the ring, who's a Miss Olympia. She's also Miss International.
Right.
She could really upset things there and wind up emerging victorious. What do you think would make someone like a Yoxani jump in this show? Because the first prize is only $3,000. You know, it's got to cost her almost that much to probably get out there.
Sure. Well, you know, Yoxani hasn't had a very, you know, good showing in the last year or so. I mean, she's come off those Miss International, Miss Olympia wins and sort of really hasn't wowed us again. So, you know, it could be one of two things. Either she's tuning up for the Arnold Classic or seeing how things go. Or maybe, you know, she's trying to drive some hype about herself and she's really in good condition and she wants to come in and, you know, make a statement. I hope she does.
Well, it would be nice. I think, you know, maybe she's trying to get a little momentum behind her, because she knows she's got to face Iris at the Miss International again. And Iris has been smoking her the last few times they've been out there together. And, you know, maybe it is a good strategy. Like you said, you know, sometimes, remember when Tony Freeman won the Ironman that year and came into the Arnold and did real well because everyone was talking about Tony Freeman. And I'm sure that's what he's doing this year, too. He's going to be doing this Phoenix show. I'm sure he's using it as a momentum boost for himself going into the Arnold Classic. Now, there's a couple of pro debuts being made here. Zoa Lindsay, who won the North American Championship. She's Canadian, lives in actually Japan with her, because they're in the military there. Wow. And, you know, she might surprise people because she's a taller competitor. She's probably 5'10", 5'11", maybe even 6 feet. I'm not sure. And she's got a lot of muscle in her body. This is a girl who could probably match a Yoxani Oroquin and a Betty Pariso size-wise. Do you think that the IFBB women's division is ready for a new star?
I think they are. I think there's, you know, a room for new blood in the IFBB women's ranks. And it's nice to see strategies like that. Like Yoxani is maybe her strategy going in is to upset the apple cart a little bit, you know, coming in this late, using a Sean Ray terminology that Jeff hates. But, you know, I like when you see new girls like Zoa come in, you know, fresh off a win on the national level and, you know, looking to make a name for themselves in the pro ranks leading into the pro season, where, you know, they have a couple of chances to make qualifications for bigger shows. So I think there's definitely room for them.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be a matter of whether she shows up in shape. If she does, I believe, because she's a younger competitor, she's a new face, I think she's going to do very well. Once again, we've seen some pictures of her online. I haven't seen her glute hamstring area, which is usually the determining factor of whether a person has peaked themselves out for the show. Having said that, we have some local talent too. Diana Stanback, who used to be Diana Tennell, is from the area over there in Phoenix, and she should be considered probably one of the people that they're going to be looking at as well. Got Antoinette Thompson from Oklahoma, who's going to be up there as well. And you got Jeannie Paparoni, who's also been an Olympia qualifier in that lineup. So, you know, I think it might be a better women's show than people anticipate. But once again, it always comes down to whether these girls are going to be in shape or not.
And what the judges are looking for, because it doesn't necessarily pan out if the girls are in shape. You know, it could go either way. So women's bodybuilding still seems to be one of those things that they don't have a clear-cut idea of what their ideal is. And you could have a Betty Parizo winning, and then you could have a Yaxeni winning, or you could have a new face winning. It all depends on who shows up, how they show up, and what the judges want. So it's going to be... it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
All right. Well, I'll have to find out, obviously, when we get out there. And this coming Saturday in Phoenix, we'll talk a little bit more about the show with Stryker Solomon when he calls in a little later. Let's move on. I got some news items. Actually, I wanted to bring up a funny story. You were out on the town last night, or yes, Saturday night, I should say.
Right.
And he left Max with me. I had a great time with him. I got to tell you, he's a pisser. I mean, the kid is just like, got some of the funniest stories and insights. I love watching his insights.
Well, Dad, I had so much fun with Uncle Dave, Dad.
I took him to the Outback with my dad, okay? Because my dad wanted to go out to dinner, and he was bored. And my father asked me the same question every time I mentioned the word Outback. He's like, do they serve fish there? Like, Dad, you've eaten fish 15 times there already. We've been there. So I have to remind him. He's like, I can't remember anything anymore. You know, my father's 80 years old now, so things are not, his memory is not high on the list of things that are working that well in his body, along with the rest of his physical ailments. But so we get to the Outback, and you know, you can either seat yourself at the bar if there's a table open, or you have to wait. And right. I know my father's not going to wait, so I saw a table open up. I jumped in the table, and I found out that, you know, you really can't sit at this one particular table. It's a reserve table. It like seats like 10. Ugh. It was me, Max, and my father at this table. They were trying to explain that to me, and then they said, well, it's late, you can stay there. My father's like, what? What? Huh? You know, he didn't hear anything they said, and I said, Dad, it's not important. Then he got mad at me because I was like patronizing him, you know, because I wasn't telling him. And then when I told him, he's like, oh, what did you bother telling me this for? I care.
So Max and him are on the same level.
Max had no, really couldn't care less either. He was playing his video game. So after my father got through yelling at the bartender because he only filled his glass of wine up halfway, you know, he felt he was getting cheated, you know, because, you know, if he doesn't get a full glass of wine, I said, Dad, why do you even order wine at a place like the Outback? I don't understand it. I said, you drink wine all day at home. You have to have one more glass at the Outback? The funny thing is my father wasn't even drunk. I don't know what he has to, like, always have a glass of wine with him.
Did he come in demand, you know, a glass of wine? Right.
Well, he went to the bar. He likes to go up to the bar. He wore a suit, first of all, Outback. Yeah. He was dressing up, and he told me for the 800th time the story about how he got this suit in 1980, and that everyone keeps asking him where he has all this great clothes from and how he affords it, and he tells him, I've had this suit from the 80s. I said, well, Dad, it's not like you wear the thing every day. I mean, think about it. How many suits have you bought in your lifetime, John?
Yeah, but most 80-year-old men that wear the suit from the 80s, it's like a leisure suit, you know? It's like lime green or something.
That's true. My father does have nice clothing. Seriously, how many suits have you bought in your lifetime, you figure?
Me in my lifetime?
Yeah.
Probably 50.
Have you?
I used to work on Wall Street.
Right, since you got out of jail.
Since
okay?
The second life.
Yeah. How many suits have you bought?
None.
None?
No.
You have no suits?
I have six or eight in my closet.
From before?
Yeah, from before.
Where were you storing it when you were gone?
Where all my rest of my stuff was.
Oh. Yeah. All right, but so you haven't bought a suit, right? But you
don't
have to.
I don't need one.
Well, because you only wear it, what, once a year?
I'm waiting for a funeral.
Yeah, exactly. Or a wedding. No. And there's less chance of a wedding.
I won't go to a wedding.
No, okay. But anyway, the point is, of course, no one throws out suits. You keep them forever.
Sure.
So my father's 1980 suit is not really that out of place. Anyway.
Did he wear a tie?
Yeah, he was all decked out. He was decked
why?
Out. But he likes to get dressed up.
It was Saturday.
Saturday night out. You know?
Sounds
that's
a classy guy,
yeah,
man.
He likes to go to Blackstone's usually.
Oh, does he?
That's like a whole... like.
Usually when we go to the all-you-can-eat, the Asian place, he's all in black.
Yeah, well, he gets the food all over.
It's like he's going to an art opening.
he dresses down for the buffet, but he thought he was...
Because he means business at the buffet.
Right, he knew there was a bar at the Outback.
No crab legs.
That's right, exactly. So he's eating halfway through the meal, and he starts all of a sudden complaining more. He's like, oh, man. I'm like, Dad, what's wrong now? I thought everything was great. I thought you liked the food. He's like, my teeth popped out. Now, the problem with my father with his false teeth is that he doesn't wear them all the time. Very rarely, actually, except when he goes out to a restaurant, which is maybe once a week. So he doesn't, I don't think he knows how to put them in right. So he's got this complete, he's stressed out and anxiety ridden over the fact that he's got to go to this wedding in July with this woman that he's been talking to on the phone for like 8 months but has never met.
Oh, I know how that goes.
She lives in this woman exists though, John. That's the only difference. She's in Rye, but you know, my father doesn't drive, and she's like, you know, 70 something years old too. So they're planning to meet at this wedding, you know. So my father has sent her a picture, you know, she sent a picture to him or whatever.
How cute.
You know, through the mail, obviously, because my father doesn't know how to use a computer.
Snail mail.
Right, exactly. Wow. So he's all panicked now because he can't, he's afraid he doesn't want to go to the wedding because if he goes to the wedding and his teeth pop out, he's done, he said. He can't eat. He's going to have to take them out of his mouth and put them in his pocket. So I said, Dad, I don't get it. I don't, just don't eat anything. I said, eat before you go. You know, so you could just like nibble. I said, or why don't you learn how to put the teeth in properly? No one else has this problem that their teeth pop out of their mouth.
No, so, that's not true.
Is that a common
they
problem?
They pop out all the time.
Well, I said, why can't you go into the bathroom and put them back in? He's like, no. Once the wax falls off you, it doesn't work anymore.
Can you just like bring, don't they have that like a foam thing that they glue them in with, a new kind of sticker, the glue method.
My father's not like the most hygienically gifted person. You know what I mean? Like right. He doesn't really clean things as well. I think he's just not doing something right. And
right.
You know, he likes to say that he's not mechanically inclined. So that's probably his excuse why he can't get them in properly. Maybe you could give him a lesson or something like that. You can read them. I'll have Jeff read the manual.
Can he go to his dentist or somebody and just ask for the proper procedure of sealing his dentures in? I mean,
That's like a monumental like thing for my dad to do. You know,
there's a great story of my my grandfather who had a very weak stomach when it came to things that were, you know, sort of disgusting.
Right.
And they were all sitting around a dinner, as the story goes. My father told it, and you know, there were six kids and my grandmother, my grandfather, and they had a dinner guest, and they were having soup. And the dinner guest, who's sitting opposite the table from my grandfather, sneezes, and his top teeth came out, his dentures came out, and landed in my father's grandfather's soup, which facilitated him throwing up.
Oh, no.
Which facilitated everybody else at the table simultaneously throwing up.
Really?
And not everybody, but several other people. It turned into a huge, disgusting mess.
All over the teeth coming out.
Listen to my uncle tell it, who is the funny storyteller in the family, it's absolutely hysterical. But I'm sure denture adhesives have come a long way since the 1930s.
So.
You know, so there's got to be hope for him. I remember my grandmother using this, it looked like foam. It looked like a pink,
I think he uses that pad
that you cut out. You know, it was cut out in the shape of the denture, and you pressed it in there, and then that presses in. It wasn't a gum in the tube.
I think you got to do it on a daily basis to get good at it.
Yeah,
he only does it once in a blue moon when he goes out. That's why I think he's not good at it.
I don't know. There's got to be a way. I mean, this day and age. I mean,
you always ask me why my teeth are so white and why they keep them so good. That's why I don't want to wind up like him. You know, right. I don't want history to repeat itself because my father has terrible teeth. But you know, another thing that annoys me that he does, and I've seen other people do this too, and I'm sure you will agree with me. Do you ever see these people that have like that napkin in their pocket that they blow their nose into, and then they put it back in their pocket?
Oh my God, I hate that.
What's with that? Who created that thing?
It goes back
to the handkerchief.
Yeah, the hankies from the old days. Yeah, yeah. But whoever used them, I remember this.
My father always used handkerchiefs. I remember
that is the most disgusting thing in the entire world. A cloth handkerchief. It's always wadded up in your pocket, and they take it out and they blow their nose in it, and it's full of snot, and they stuff it back in their pocket.
What is that?
And then they pull it out and use it again. It's just the most disgusting thing.
Who created that ritual?
I don't know.
Someone did because they had handkerchiefs.
Yeah, the same person that invented washcloths.
That was before they had like tissues that were disposable. Well, yeah, I think.
The idea, you know, there was a way, you know, you used to fold them up and put them in your suit coat pocket, you know, your suit jacket pocket.
Good, not to blow your nose,
not to use the damn thing, you know. But they actually freaking use it.
I remember my father used to have these handkerchiefs all the time. He had about 10 white ones, and they'd go in the wash after, you know.
I picture my mom pulling it out of the pocket, you know, like and putting it in the laundry.
So now he has like a paper towel. He does it with tongues.
I saw
him doing it in the restaurant. He pulled it out. He blew his nose into the paper towel. Folded it up and put it back in his pocket.
Oh my God!
I'm a very, very, you know, clean
person.
That's
like wiping your ass and putting it in your pocket. I've seen Diego do that
actually.
You know what they do in Mexico because their plumbing is so bad. They wipe their ass and they throw the, you know,
in the garbage,
the shit stained paper in the garbage can. So you go to these public toilets, you know, and they reek. You know, you pull off the side of the road and they flies buzzing around.
Why wouldn't they use like that boat toilet paper that, like, you know, disintegrates.
It's
really
Mexico.
Easy.
Mexico. It's brown Poland. They do the, everything backwards down there. And what's really horrible is that the Mexicans that leave there,
right,
that come here, that don't understand that we have better plumbing, and they do it. And you know, happens a lot in L.A. or, you know, the border, you know, cities with a lot of Mexicans.
Right now.
And you go to these public toilets, and there's freaking shit caked toilet paper in the garbage can. It's the most disgusting, grossest thing you can imagine.
Mr. G would love to live in Mexico. He'd be like a clean guy there, probably.
He'd probably win a cleanliness award, you know.
One more thing about the Outback trip. My father my father paid for the meal because it was my birthday, you know, meal.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, so he told me I could, you know, when I fill out the credit card slip for him, he said, leave a 20% tip, which was really surprising to me because, you know, my dad doesn't like to leave big tips.
Wow.
You know, that's a pretty good tip, you know. I said, Dad, what's with the 20% tip? He's like, well, you know, the guy was good and this is, he served us. I don't like to leave it. I only don't leave those tips in the buffet. He thinks like the people in the buffet are not. I think it's because they're Asian that he has a problem.
I like that too. I don't leave as much of a tip at the buffet.
Fuck that. These guys still got to pay the bills,
but they don't do anything.
They clean your plates off. Every time you get up to go to the buffet and pick up another plate, when you come back, your plate's gone, isn't it?
So that's worth 20%.
Yeah, of course.
I give 15.
No way. All right.
Sometimes less.
You know, this is Valentine's Day, and being Valentine's Day, I thought we should talk about, you know, relationships, and, you know, we're always bashing them and everything like that.
Great.
There are some relationships that have been very successful, and these are some more than unusual ones. I read an article about a one-legged acrobat and a fire eater who fell in love. There's like a circus act. They're out of Austin, Texas, which we know a lot of people there. Adela Garcia's from Austin, Texas.
Sure.
But one of them is 3'9". Okay, she bills herself as Jackie the Human Tripod. She has one leg, John, but it's like a miniature leg. Okay, it's just the other leg just doesn't exist, and she's pretty hot. If you look at the picture here, John, she's got a nice set of boobs. She's got a very pretty face.
Yeah, she does.
She just only has one leg, you know, and she's a one-legged acrobat. Now, the guy she met, Josh Blaznick, is a fire eater, and he juggles, and he's a unicyclist. So he actually can eat fire and juggle while he's riding this unicycle, and they met on in this little circus act, and then they fell in love.
I like how the one wheel bicycle and the one-legged woman kind of have a synergy there.
Now, my question to you, John, is could you, I mean, looking at this woman, I'm showing you the picture purposely here, could you see yourself dating this woman? She's a beautiful woman. She's got a nice boobs. That's one of your requirements, right, but she only has one leg.
I imagine from a purely sexual standpoint, I mean, it's cool that all those legs don't get in the way, but I don't know, man. It's such a hard question to ask. I mean, it depends on their personality, of course, obviously. I mean, she's an incredible person. You know, maybe you can look past, you know, the handicap. I mean, remember, I was married to a woman who was deaf. So, I mean, I've certainly can look past, you know, physical challenges.
Now, the thing I find very funny is that the woman's, who with the one leg, was worried because her father is very conservative, and she was afraid that he wouldn't like all the tattoos that the unicyclist guy has on him. I guess he's tatted
he's
up pretty good.
Tattoos.
Now, I mean, if my daughter has one leg and it's not even a full length leg,
I'd be grateful.
And she comes home with anyone who's got two legs and two arms
and a job.
Yeah, and a job, right? And loves my daughter. I'm not going to worry about the fact that he's got tattoos. Don't you think?
I would have to agree with that. as a guy who has daughters, I'll take anything.
They started their own show now, John. The Strange and the Deranged, it's called.
You know, you got to wonder these physical oddities. There's got to be some kind of fetish angle to it. I mean, you know, you can't look at a chick with one leg and you know, big boobs and wonder, you know, come on, they got to be freaky.
Now these pair that have this new show called The Strange and Deranged, they have a roommate who they've pulled in. He's called Satan John. No relation to you, John. This guy was born with freakishly very short arms, caused by a condition called phocomelia. Now, he uses them to play the drums and crack a whip at the show, but you know, obviously they're like 3 inches long or something like that. Can you imagine this group? You think we have a whack pack, oh, man. We should get them on the show.
We should get one of those guys on.
Maybe we could. We probably couldn't afford them. They probably make more money a year than we do.
Mr. G wouldn't let them talk.
No, yeah, he'd be throwing them around, like tossing them. But anyways, there's been other strange couples like this throughout the ages. And like I said, since this is Valentine's Day, I like to rediscover this or revisit this, I should say. There was one such couple known as the Half Lady and the Giant. He was 8'4" tall, and his wife, Jeannie, was 2'6". She was born with no legs at all. No legs. They fell in love also while performing together, and they went on to be very famous, you know, very famous in their act that they had going on. But can you imagine that? What would an 8'4" guy be able to do with a 2'6" woman?
Carry her anywhere.
I guess. No legs.
It looks like a portable chick.
It's pretty weird, right? Isn't it?
That's why I'm saying this. There's got to be a fetish angle to this. They're both fucked up.
That's what
I'm saying. You know. There's got to be a fetish. I mean, there's got to be some kind of fetish angle. Imagine, you know, imagine the equipment on a guy who's, you know, 8 feet tall, and then he's, you know, doing a 2 foot tall chick. I mean, there's something to that. You can't just ignore the fact that there's that physical, you know, end of it that's got to be somewhat fetish derived. It has to be. I refuse to believe it's just, you know, a meeting of minds and great personalities, and they're really sweet people and they just love each other.
You're a very shallow prick. I love my girlfriend not for her big titties. I love her because she loves my turtles.
I thought the turtles are yours.
They're mine now.
Now, another couple with maybe the strangest couple of all time, John, was the monkey girl and the alligator skin man. Priscilla, the monkey girl, had a rare disease called hypertrichosis, which caused excessive hair all over her. John, if you look in this picture, she's got a beard and a mustache, and she's got all over her body and face tons of hair. And the husband, Emmett Bahano, was afflicted with another condition that caused him to have high, hard, dry, scaly skin. So it looked like an alligator skin. Okay. Now, the funny thing about this whole thing, when they got together, the woman said, "You know what? I'm so in love with this guy that I think I'll shave my hair on my face, and she'll dye her hair blonde because she wants to have a new look so that this guy would really love her." And he told her, "If you do, I'm leaving you."
Whoa.
So he really was into the whole hair thing.
He was a big follower of Planet of the Apes.
Mr. G probably would like that, right?
Yeah,
he's into hairy chicks.
Oh, can you imagine a bush on her? Jesus.
That's good. You know, think about it. If you're a bearded lady, I mean,
gotta have a lot of testosterone.
Yeah, but
she's probably horny as hell.
Wouldn't you want to shave it off?
All the hair off?
You get all this stubble, I mean, you know? No, this woman looked like an Amish guy, she looks like, with all the hair.
She's like Babe Lincoln.
I don't know. This is crazy. Well, there's many more marriages. I don't want to go in and bore anyone too much, but it is pretty interesting. Now, to counteract that story, these are true love stories, obviously, mm-hmm. John. Since we're both not in relationships right now, I'd also mention the top 8 reasons why marriages may fall apart. They made a list here.
Weddings.
Weddings. They say that when a man is 9 or more years older than his wife, they're twice as likely to get divorced. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yep. Men who marry before 25 are at least twice as much
that goes without
get
saying.
Divorced. And that's because they don't know what they're getting into, obviously. 20% of couples who've had children before they marry also are more likely to get divorced.
Because they got married for no good reason.
No, before they had. Before, oh,
they
yeah,
had the kids true. First.
Yeah, you're right.
Forced marriage.
Couples are far more likely to divorce if the woman wants children, but the other partner or the man doesn't want it. That's obvious.
Sure,
also,
obviously.
You know. 16% of couples whose parents were separated or divorced also tend to get divorced.
You know, I think that's the most crucial point in the whole list is that...
I agree.
If you come from a broken family, how can you expect... What example do you have going into monogamy and a committed relationship? I think that has been the common denominator in all my failed relationships,
really?
Is that my parents have been married now for 51 years.
Right.
They are in love with each other their whole lives, and that is the example I have. You don't quit. You work it out. You,
right.
you know, you do what you got to do to stay together. every woman I've been with that I've had, you know, been in a broken relationship with has come from a broken home.
So
you can't, one doesn't, you know, equate to the other. You can't, you know, do this. So, you know, that's my new criteria is that you have to be from a home.
Well, I always say that, yeah, don't get any girls that hate their parents or, you know.
That and big boobs.
Yeah. Now, that sometimes those are mutually exclusive, though, John. You can't get both in the same package.
Then what do you do?
Yeah. Well, now, if one of, here's another one, interesting one for you, John. If one of the partners is in his second, well, I guess this also fits me, second or third marriage, the couple is 90% more likely to separate or divorce.
Because you're used to it.
Is that it?
It's, okay. It's a course of action. It's acceptable to quit. Hmm. So the commitment doesn't mean anything. If you get married, you promise in front of everybody you know that you invited to the wedding and God that you're going to stay together till you're dead, rotting in the grave next to each other. That is the promise.
Yeah.
So if you've justified quitting before, you'll justify quitting again. Yeah, it's probably easier to justify quitting the second time.
You're right. Now, 16% of couples who are identified or have identified themselves as being poor. Okay, or where the husband is unemployed, that makes it 90% more like
financial issues are crippling.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
and then if one of the partners smokes and the other one doesn't, that's a deal breaker too. Obviously,
how could you even get married to begin with?
I don't know. That's crazy. That's a crazy one.
I couldn't even talk to a girl who smokes.
Now, the longest married couple of all time, John, has been posted. Herbert and Jamira Fisher have been married in wedding bliss for 86 years, John.
Oh,
can you believe it? One of them is 102, one is 104. They are already in the Guinness Book of World Records. I can't even imagine that. I mean, is that true love, John, or is that just, you know, eventually just, you know, saying that you don't even know what's going on anymore?
I would imagine with the onset of senility, it's like they have a first date every day.
Oh, you think they both have Alzheimer's?
It's like, who are you? I don't know. You woke up in my bed.
Yeah, what do you think? You think they still have sex?
I bet you, I don't know. Jeff, what do you think?
Probably pretty dusty if they do.
I don't know if you think even cobwebs. Like Cialis works. Maybe they might have to use like Caverject or something like that.
I wonder if they even care.
They don't look too bad.
If you look at it from my experience.
I don't know if I would want to have sex with the same woman 86 years in a row, you know?
But if you're 104, I mean, you don't have many options, like, you know, in terms of, you know.
They probably don't.
Do you think like that? Imagine this guy goes to a prostitute. Would a prostitute have sex with this 104-year-old guy?
She would fuck his leg. That's all.
No, you think, you know, I think she'd say, he doesn't look too bad. I got to tell you.
Yeah, now, why are you sending an 86-year-old a guy who's been married for 86 years, why are you sending him to a prostitute?
Well, do you think his wife would say to him, you know what, we've been married for 86 years, I want you to go have experience someone else.
Maybe she should have said that at the 40-year mark. She should have suggested that.
Maybe they did. Maybe that's why they're still married. Yeah, maybe they were swingers or something like that.
Maybe they had an open relationship.
They might have. You know,
you got to look. You know what? I think it's a beautiful thing. And unfortunately, you'll watch. If one of those dies, one of them dies,
the other one will die
within 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely linked somewhere.
Completely dependent on each other.
100%. They're probably keeping each other alive. They probably argue like cats and dogs, but they love it.
You know what? Every woman listening to this show is hating us right now for these horrible comments we're making.
We're disparaging
this beautiful union of 86 years, and we're making fun of it. I'm going to go on record as saying I think it's a beautiful thing, and power to them, and I hope they are having sex every day.
These people were around almost in the Civil War. I mean, come on. I mean, this is incredible.
They've been married longer than my father's been alive.
Yeah,
yours too.
It's pretty crazy. Well, Valentine's Day, John, I figured we had to cover these little relationship things, and I guess, you know, as my Aunt Martha used to say, she had one arm. She had it chopped off in a car accident.
Ooh.
She used to play bingo with 15 cards at one time with one arm, and she smoked about 4 packs of cigarettes a day, but she lived to like 90. My Aunt Martha used to say there's a nut for every bolt.
Right.
And you know what? There's someone out there for everyone. I'm sure we'll all find who we're looking for, and anyone out there who's alone now on Valentine's Day, just keep that in mind. There's a nut for every bolt. And on that wise note, we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we got our first guest.
A couple of nuts here will be waiting for you.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hypershot. Hypershot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net, DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right, for a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Ah! Pump up and shred down with 4 great G-A-T products. Pre-workout Jet Fuse NOX. For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights. Post-workout Jet Mass. After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover. Premium protein, Muscle Teen. Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training. Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro. Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at TeamGAT.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, I'd like to welcome back our next guest, who's affectionately known as the Swami. The man I'm talking about is none other than Iron Man Magazine's Lonnie Tieper. Welcome.
How you guys doing, man? It's 80 degrees out here in SoCal. Sun shining through. How are you?
Well, we're freezing over here, but we don't talk about the weather. But I want to talk about one thing because it's February, Lonnie, and you know what February means. It's birthday month.
I thought you were going to ask me to be your Valentine.
No, definitely not. It is Valentine's Day, but I really don't want to be your Valentine.
It's kind of like a bro thing.
I kind of have like a minimal amount of hair the person has to have on top of their head.
I got my Elvis wig
here. Wig. That's right. Yeah. Right. I'll have to reconsider. Well, anyway, as you know, my birthday is this Wednesday, and yours is when?
Tuesday.
Right.
Wow.
And who else is having birthdays in this month? I know you have the whole list memorized.
Sean Ray's mother, Yvonne Stribling, has a birthday Tuesday. Jim Mannion is joined you on the 17th, right. As does Michael Jordan.
That's correct.
Wow, Jim Mannion and Dave Palumbo on the same day.
Can you imagine that?
Yes.
You can almost saw that day out of February and post it somewhere.
You can't believe that. Well,
there's a couple more, isn't there? I thought...
There may be, but I'm not sure.
All the important people have been mentioned.
People have been mentioned. Yeah.
Well, what are you doing? How old are you this year, actually? I forgot to ask.
You know, let's put it this way. I'm so old that I can legitimately now say I don't remember, and you have to accept that.
He needs an abacus to figure it out.
Yeah. I was a waiter at the Last Supper.
Have you hit the big 6-0 yet?
Well, I'm just about.
Really? Wow. I'm only 42, but... John is encroaching
on 49.
Yeah, right. He's going to 50 this year.
That's right.
But he looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Hopefully that'll keep going.
He's got a couple more good years in him.
Got one good one left in me.
I wish I could say that.
Lonnie, you'll endure forever. I think you stopped aging around about 42.
Well, the Just for Men helps.
You don't look any different.
No, he looks the same. I'm saying for the last 15 years.
20 years, he's looked exactly
the
same.
That's what Ofer Sampra said. I was out at Gold's Venice a week or so ago and interviewing. He's training this teenage kid for the Teenage Cal.
Right.
And he says, man, he said, you haven't changed since I first met you in 91. I said, I must have really looked old in 1991.
He looks better, I think, because you're leaner now, I think.
Well, I'm trying. It's tough, man. It's, you know, with each day as that metabolism gets slower, it gets harder. I just look at a donut now and put on a percentage of body fat.
15 years ago, you used to eat the donut. Now you don't eat it. So it's
I look like it. That was my favorite hangout.
It's more economical.
Krispy Kreme.
Oh boy,
we have Winchell's out there in California.
Winchell's are great. Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' Donuts. I know them all.
You're very and they know good you. Customer. Yeah,
they know me very well too.
Right, Lonnie, we have to put your Swami cap back on because you have to take a bow. You were right about Jay Cutler winning the Olympia against all of our opinions to the contrary. But you did miss picking Cedric McMillan to win the Nationals.
I have a legitimate excuse.
All right, let's hear it.
I didn't know who Cedric McMillan was until about a week before the Nationals.
You knew him. He won the Junior USA 2 years ago. Come on.
Yeah, but I wasn't at that show. Remember, the one I emceed was 3 years ago.
Right. That's true.
All right.
Cedric was not at that show. He is a great physical specimen, man. About 6'1", 260, small waist. If I would have seen that guy before, and I should have, I guess I wasn't doing my homework.
Slacking.
I would have definitely gone with that guy. He looks like he could be a terrific pro.
It must be because everyone took away all his emceeing jobs, John.
Well, I guess that Swami hat is not equipped with like an infrared, you know, teleport device.
I'm going to have to bone up more on these things.
You're
going to
get that thing upgraded.
Now that I know you're looking at every single pick.
Oh yeah,
Lonnie.
I didn't know you looked at my Nationals picks. So.
Your word is like, you know, gospel. So we have to follow it very, very.
You came on here and gave us the picks. We don't have to look at them.
Oh, you got a point there.
All right, now it's 2010.
He's losing his mind, Johnny. He can't even remember coming on the show anymore.
You got to remind him.
He's getting the age.
You got to remind him about his birthday. Now he's verklempt. All right, so it's 2010, and the shows are getting ready to start up again. Our season is upon us. And the first show of the season is next weekend in Phoenix, the Phoenix Pro 2010. And, of course, my question is, whose do you pick to win it?
Well, you know, I haven't really seen anybody, but, you know, there's a lot of if factors here. If Tony Freeman comes in top shape, he wins the show. I think he's got the best body. Will he be crisp? He wasn't that crisp at the Olympia. He did the Sacramento. Of course, that was after. You expect him to be a little off, and he was. He hasn't had that much time in between the last show and this one, and he is 43 and a half years old. One of the most amazing bodybuilders of all time, by the way, at that age, to still look like, to talk about not aging, here's a guy that looks as good as he did 15 years ago. I mean,
Better,
actually, he is better because he's bigger and fuller. But I think the show is Tony's if he comes spot on, but I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. There's some pretty good bodybuilders in this lineup.
So are you picking him? Is that your official pick?
I'm going to go. You have to go with Freeman because, you know, I just haven't seen anybody else. I know for sure that guys like Troy Alves and Mike Liberatore, who's making his pro debut, who I really like, are going to be in great condition. I interviewed Hidetada Yamagishi a couple weeks ago. He's going to be in really good condition. Those guys are just too small to battle Tony Freeman if Freeman is on.
Now, that's a big if. Now, I haven't been working with Tony this time, so I can't give you any inside track here, but I did see a picture of him online where he was hitting like a front double bicep or something like that, and he was claims to be 291. Now, at 291, I know Tony's not going to be in contest shape like he was when he placed fifth at the Olympia. I just know his body. I know he likes to come in bigger because he's fuller, but I just don't think he has that glute hamstring separation at that weight. Having said that, now, if you know, he still has 2 weeks, or he had 2 weeks when those pictures were posted. If he does come down into the 280s or maybe even high 270s. Like you said, I don't think anyone can beat this guy. But if he leaves the door open, where does a guy like Melvin Anthony, Troy Alves, Hidetada Yamagishi, these are guys who went to the Olympia, placed very high last year. Can these guys beat him if he's off?
Well, if he said he was 291 2 weeks ago, that means he was 280 already. So by the time he gets on stage, he will be 268. So he will win. But now those other guys, Troy Alves, beautiful physique, Hidetada, hard as a rock. I like this Liberatore. You know, when Liberace plays the piano, there's sweet music. But he's not that, probably 215, 218. Nobody's going to beat Tony. Now talk about size. There's another huge guy if he comes in shape, and I'm hearing some good things about Quincy Taylor. Here's a guy over 6'4", probably be around 290, 295. Can Quincy Taylor battle Tony Freeman if Quincy Taylor's on and Tony's a little off? That's another curious question to deal with.
Well, now, we had him on the show last week, and he says that, you know, all systems are go. He's got every, he had everything he needed.
All his supplements.
All his supplements from A to Z, and he wasn't missing anything.
There's some extra letters there then if he's got them all.
Oh, there's conjugations, there's all kinds. And, you know, he said he's on like Donkey Kong. So if he is on, as he claims to be, and Tony Freeman comes in on, as the pictures may indicate, if it comes down to those two standing up there, Swami, who do you pick?
I'm going with Freeman.
Okay. I mean, Freeman is the highest placing Olympia contender here.
Yeah.
Melvin would obviously be a very close second. What if Melvin Anthony comes in shredded to the bone, which we haven't seen in a while, but maybe what if he came in looking like he did in Atlantic City? Can he beat Freeman?
Well, the problem is, from what I've heard, Melvin is actually behind.
Oh, really?
Really?
Now, you know, things can certainly change a lot in a 2 to 3 week period, as you know. But I'm hearing that he's just not ready. Now, I don't know if that's a valid assessment, or whether people are just giving their own opinion of where they think he should be at a certain point. But I know he's been training in Arizona with Dennis James, staying with Dennis James. And an insider told me at the Fit Expo, and Dave, you were out there, but an insider told me that Melvin was behind. Now, at that point, that was probably a month out of the Phoenix show, so you could change a lot. But Melvin does have problems. If he has any problems, it's getting that crisp look. And I think there's going to be some of these guys. Take away even the Freeman factor. You got Hidetada and Liberatore and Troy Alves, you know, are going to be spot on.
We've seen Troy Alves pictures, and he's as good as he was when he won the Orlando Europa.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful physique. So you can't afford, this is an interesting show, you're going to need some size and conditioning. And Melvin's not the biggest guy. He's got a beautiful aesthetic physique, but he cannot afford to be anything but his best if he wants to battle for that title. And from what I heard, I think he definitely is the underdog going into this one.
Yeah, I would say so. Let's talk about some of the guys who are making their pro debut. You mentioned one before, Michael Liberatore, who, as I know very well because I'm working with him. And I got to tell you, the guy's looking phenomenal. And then you got Stan the White Rhino Efforting, too, who's going to be making his pro debut. I saw him out at Gold's in Venice there when I was out there for the Fit Expo. And he was looking pretty ripped and obviously very big at 260 or 265 at the time I saw him. How do you think these guys will stack up in this lineup, and could they be surprise guys?
I think they definitely could. Liberatore was my bodybuilder of the year in 2008, did show after show after show and hung in there and beat Alvisi at the Nationals to win his pro card. I don't know how he did it, because I think he did the juniors, the USA, I think the juniors, USA,
and the Nationals,
that year, and he was terrific in all of them. This guy's got a lot of my respect, and I think that the White Rhino is a big, strong guy, and his shape is a lot better than people think it is. And he is going to be in top condition. He's very dedicated, and I think those guys could definitely battle for a top five slot. Everybody better be on their game, you know, come next week, or there could be some upsets in those placings.
Do you think that since the Iron Man was canceled and that was a five Olympia qualifier, you think that they should have passed on those five Olympia spots to this show, or do you think it's right to keep it at three?
No, absolutely keep it at three. Matter of fact, I'm the person that pushed to have the Iron Man have the top five, and even though it helped the show, to be honest with you, when I reevaluated it down the road when they started adding all of these other shows,
right,
I didn't even think we should have been the top five. Matter of fact, I've written a column in Iron Man, my News and Views column, where I said I don't think anybody should requalify. That's kind of a similar topic. I wish everybody had to requalify.
That's what John thinks, too.
I always think that.
Yeah, it certainly would help the fans, and it would help the promoters.
Sure. You know, several sports do that, you know, and it's, you know, I always mention, you know, Formula One racing, that, you know, you got to start, even the top guy won last year, you got to start at zero, and you got to start racking up points, you know, and it would.
I agree, you know, and you can go to team sports or individual sports. You know, New Orleans Saints, a great story. The Super Bowl, but they don't automatically now get a free pass into the playoffs.
Sure, right.
They start 0-0, and if it's an individual thing, I mean, look at tennis, look at Cheetah Woods. I mean, Tiger Woods. you know, he's not going to get any pass to, you know, we'll just put you in the top three automatically. I mean, I don't know. You look at the promoters, and I know I promote a contest every June, and I know what it's like to, you know, worrying about getting top competitors in it and getting people to buy tickets. And these promoters had some big names in all of these shows. You start having too many contests, and it gets so watered down that that I may be able to crack the top eight. Okay, that is an exaggeration. Oh, yeah. Top nine.
Well, speaking of big, strong guys, then, you know, not very much has been mentioned about Johnny Jackson coming into this show. He's a guy who he can either be, you know, a top contender. He's had several pro victories under his belt so far. He did win the World's Strongest Bodybuilder last year. But that having said that, he had somewhat of an off year. And, you know, he sort of faded a little bit. So now coming into this show, he could be the wild card. He could be incredible, or he could be not incredible. If he comes in incredible, where do you think he stands up amongst guys like Tony Freeman and Mike Liberatore?
Well, the problem with Johnny is throughout his history, and he did the Iron Man a lot, he never seemed to be in real good shape in the early shows. He was always better as the season went along.
Why do you think that is, Lonnie?
I don't know. I just, you know, he's a really strong guy, kind of a powerlifting mentality, and it's probably he's a thick guy, really thick upper body. His upper body superior to his lower body, and I just think he's one of those guys that he goes in and he goes in early, always bigger, and is not in top shape and doesn't finish high, and then realizes, okay, I just have to get leaner to have a shot. It seems like it's the same story all the time. Now, I haven't seen Johnny. Obviously, if he's in top shape, he's definitely a top five guy.
Mm. Yeah, I agree also. You know, he and like I said, he might sneak in there and just surprise a few people. What about like guys like Tarek El-Sotui? You got Eddie Abu. These are guys who've qualified for the Olympia before. No one's really talking very much about them. These guys that can, you know, even Gregory Atoyan, these people that we should be concerned with in terms of top five placings?
Of those guys, El Tucci, I think, really is a guy that could be a dark horse. I am seeing him when he won the Arnold Amateur. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, and he's really a terrific bodybuilder. He's got size, and he comes in really good condition. Eddie Abu was third at the Ironman 1 year, so that speaks for itself. It was a pretty deep lineup. And Atoyan, you know, an X factor there. He made his pro debut last year, and I thought he did pretty well, considering, you know, a lot of people didn't have him as a top 10 in any show, and he did pretty well. So I think of those three, El Tucci is a guy that really could shake things up. He's good enough, I think, to be a top three guy, actually.
Yeah, well, Chris Aceto's working with him, and I'm sure his conditioning will be spot on, as well as another guy that Chris is working with, Deshaun Grimmitz.
Deshaun is a great guy, and you know, he did the Ironman a few times, and he just didn't look that good and didn't do well, and he did the Arnold and didn't do well, and I'd really like to see him do well.
He's got a lot of muscle. A lot of muscle.
If this guy could really, you know, he's one of those guys where you see pictures of him 2 weeks out, and you go, whoa, you know, this guy could win the whole thing, sure. And then he gets in there and he doesn't do it. But he does have the capability of battling these guys. He's not out of his league in this lineup. And from what I'm hearing out of Orange County is he's at his best. So, you know, this, all in all, this is a very, very deep and balanced lineup, and it's going to be a dogfight for that top five.
Let's talk about the 202 class. They do have a 202 class. It's not very stacked. Right now, I think they have about four or five guys, probably the most well-known being Rock Shabazz. Given the lineup they have, I don't know if you've seen the list, a couple of the other guys are Rod Ketchin, Sean Jenkins, Eric Castagnette from France, this guy Bola Ojeks from Nigeria, which is amazing. I thought Vic Richards was the only pro from Nigeria, but he looks pretty good. I mean, do you think anyone, I mean, aside from Rock, is going to be a contender here?
Well, let's face it, this is a very weak 202 and under class, and don't knock the Rock as a good bodybuilder.
Great
you
name
know,
for
and,
bodybuilder.
And his background group, the Rockettes, are great singers, but this is very, you know, I'll be honest with you, the 202 can be a great division in certain shows. It has been. Olympia was a great lineup, but this is a very weak lineup, and I'm sure the promoter is probably disappointed that he did not get more, let's call it, the big smaller guns in this one.
Right. I think, you know, I'm almost thinking like some of the guys from the Nationals, like a Nathan DeTracy should have jumped in this, because it is a weak lineup, and, you know, who knows, you could have snagged an Olympia.
Nathan DeTracy. I would have picked as the winner of this, and I like Shabazz. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I know Rock will be writing me, but Tracy is hard as nails.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, Dave, you and I talked about it. Sure. Could he put on 10 or 15 pounds as a pro and still keep that conditioning? And you thought so.
Yeah.
And if he can, I mean, in that lineup, I would definitely have him battling Shabazz for the title.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't he do it?
I don't know, because, you know, I guess he needs a little more time to put on the size. I mean, look at Daryl G. He kind of jumped into his first pro show. He did qualify for the Olympia, but he was one of the smaller guys, obviously, coming out of that middleweight class. So it probably will take these guys, you know, like Nathan, a whole year to
put
on the size.
Well, that's a good point. This is February 22nd. It is early in the season, and, you know, the other guys, I'm sure, are looking at the shows down the road to give them more of a break.
Well, you know, let's put you on the spot here, Lonnie. Let's pick yours, mine, and John's top five in this show, in order, not in just no particular order. You got to give us first, second, third, fourth, fifth.
In order, okay.
Yes, in order.
Tony Freeman.
Okay.
That's number one. The rest is really tough.
That's why we make you go first. That's why we let you go first, so we could copy
okay,
you.
Okay, here's. I gotta go. I gotta shake things up here. I'm going for Big Quincy Taylor in seconds.
Okay.
It's gonna be a large man show. In third, Hidetada Yamagishi.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's good.
In fourth, Troy Alves.
Okay.
And in fifth, Tarek El Tusuri,
okay.
Whatever his name is.
El Satiri. John, you want to pick your pick?
Sure. I'm going to go with Tony Freeman, number one, and I'm going to copy Lonnie for number two with Quincy Taylor. I'm going to say, since it's a big man show, I'm going to say Deshaun Grimace is going to come in shape with the help of Chris Aceto and capture that third spot. I'm going to put Troy Alves in fourth, and I'm going to put Mike Liberatore in fifth.
Now, this is a really tough decision. Looking at this list, I have to tell you, and like Lonnie says, it's really tough to know who's going to be in shape or who's not. You know, so going on paper, I probably like have to go with the Tony Freeman too. But something tells me that this guy's not going to be in his best condition. He still might be good enough to win. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go with Tony Freeman only because I've have history with him, and I'm sure he's hungry for this win. I'm going to go with Troy Alves in second, however, because I know Troy's going to be in shape, and this is his hometown. There's got to be a little bit of favoritism there because of that. I'm going to go with Hidetada Yamagishi in third, Quincy Taylor fourth, and then I'm going to go with Michael Liberatore in fifth. But I don't have a problem with Liberatore placing fourth in this lineup either. So that's my top five. I'm probably wrong. That's why, you know, everyone always says, you know, when I was at the Super Bowl party I went to, which we talked about a little earlier, John, right. I said, yeah, everyone's like, how come you didn't bet? And I'm like, I don't like to lose, you know.
Yeah, but at least in the Super Bowl, you know, we've seen him play in the playoffs, right. And we know the injury factors, right, and all that. Right. This is all a guessing game, exactly. For all of us, you know. We're just all probably doing it mostly if the athlete comes in and spot on.
Right.
Condition.
I was just gonna say that I'm basing my predictions on the hope that the guys are all at 100%. So that's where I'm coming from.
I got a question for John and Dave. Other than the guys we picked, if you could pick one guy that we didn't choose that could really put a stamp on this lineup, you know, the outsider looking in that could really shake things up, who would you pick? Well, now, I'm asking the question, and I'm going to go third.
Okay. you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pick this guy, so I'm saying probably a Deshaun Grimmitz probably can shake up the apple cart if he comes in shape.
I'm going to say Tarik El-Satoui.
Jeez, you guys took my pick.
That's why you're supposed
all right,
to go
here's,
first.
here it is. Because one thing we left out about talking about this show,
but
it could also be called a Masters Olympia. We got a lot of old dudes in here, man. 43 and a half for Freeman. Alves is 43. Melvin Anthony is 40. The White Rhino's 42.
Yes, you're right.
And I was going to go with the White Rhino as the one person to crack that top five that I didn't have in it, but I'm gonna just have the faith in my man, Marvelous Melvin Anthony.
Okay. All right.
As my outside pick and hoping that he's pulling it together. I hope he's listening to this and saying, I'm going to show these three guys. They don't know what they're talking about.
The only
about.
Reason I didn't pick him was because you told me he's not in shape. I was going to pick him for second,
well, I didn't
otherwise.
I didn't pick him either.
You
so
said
I'm right
he was behind. I was going on your intel, you know.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's what I thought about McMillan. No, I didn't know McMillan.
You didn't know him. Oh, man.
I'm going to get a phone call from Melvin saying, how can you pick me top five? I'm going to say, it's Lonnie Teeper's fault. Told me not in shape.
And I'm the only guy now that I include him now.
We're totally blaming.
So you got him, as Sean Ray would say, upsetting the apple cart, as the favorite saying goes. Jeff is shaking his head. He hates that expression.
He just hates Sean Ray.
He's probably. Well, you know, Sean couldn't be in the top five today, believe me.
No, definitely not.
But he'll tell you. 223.
He'll tell you about all the times that he was.
Yeah,
all 19 times. No, he was a great bodybuilder, but at these days, I may get him on conditioning.
You might have him.
Yeah, you might.
How's your dogs doing? You still got your two little Malteses?
Unfortunately, Rio passed away last year at 12. But little Oliver, Timmy Teeper, he's on his way over, and he's going to see his old man on Valentine's Day. And he's like me. He's getting older. He turns 11 on April 8th.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know Dave likes those Malteses.
Yeah, I got two. They're 7 and 8, mine. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lonnie, it was a pleasure to have you here. We will probably get you back, I guess, before the Arnold too, to do a little Arnold preview.
Anytime, man.
I don't want to jam it all into one show. Let's see how our predictions go, and we'll see if Tony Freeman can pull off another pro victory this year.
Okay.
Thanks, Lon.
Take care, guys.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, author L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite,
improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it.
RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products.
Pre-workout Jet Fuse NOX.
For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights.
Post-workout Jet Mass.
After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover.
New protein, Muscle Teen.
Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training.
Shred and burn your Jet Fuel Pyro.
Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier.
Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint
the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is Ben Showstopper White, and you're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
And our next guest is a board-certified plastic surgeon who's operated on many bodybuilders, fitness figure, and bikini competitors. He's also worked as the fight doctor in Madison Square Garden for several years. I'd like to welcome him on as a new site sponsor on RX Muscle, as well as a guest here. Welcome, Dr. Mike Fiorillo.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Mike. Now, not only do we have you here, we have Elise Firestone here, who happens to work in your office and is the person who put us in touch with you.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
How are you, Mike?
Good. Doing well.
We need a woman's voice on the phone to kind of smooth out this whole interview. You know what I mean? Now, Mike, John and I love to have plastic surgeons on this show, essentially, because this sport, bodybuilding, figure fitness, has such a strong like relationship with people like you, because so many of the competitors go for breast implants and liposuction and wrestling and lips and gynecomastia. What would you say is the most popular plastic surgery procedure among both men and women in that 25 to 40 year old range?
Well, I would say for women, obviously breast surgery, and not only augmentation. A lot of what I do is actually revision of women who've had them done and then started either bodybuilding or fitness, and then for one reason or another, it doesn't like the way they look anymore. So I would say breast for sure on women, and men I'm doing mostly lipo and a lot of gynecomastia.
Well, you say a lot. How many are you doing like a week or a month?
I would say about 3 a month.
Wow.
So it's very, very common, and it's not only in, figure competitors. It's very common in just the novice, just a regular person that goes and works out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because a lot of the supplements, the GNC stuff, can lead to hypertrophy of breast tissue.
Really,
a lot of guys don't know what they're taking.
What supplements could do that?
A lot of kids, or a lot of men now, but when they were kids, like back in the 80s, that took steroids,
right,
that have left them with gynecomastia.
I heard people who are big pot smokers get gynecomastia, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hmm. Now, let me ask Elise this question, since Dr. Mike confirmed that most of the women are getting breast implants that are coming in. Of the people you help, you do a lot of hair and makeup. How many percentage-wise of the women competitors would you say have breast implants?
I'd say almost 99% of them have them or are going to get them. But most people do.
Now,
most girls do.
How many people have you seen that Dr. Mike has done surgery on?
I've seen a lot of patients. I've been going to the procedure rooms with him, and I've seen a lot of, you know, the patients come in, and a good majority of them work out. And I mean, I've seen the before and after pictures, and they look pretty amazing.
Now, Doc, when you talk about revisions in such a procedure, what types of, you know, revisions are necessary when you're talking about, you know, breast implants or augmentations that have sort of gone awry due to training or dieting or whatever? What happens, and what do you do to fix it?
Well, you know, that's interesting. You know, a regular person that comes in, I almost always put the implant below the muscle. And I think everyone agrees that that's the way to go.
Right.
But there are a lot of women now who are more in the bodybuilding realm that go to doctors who think, oh, I have to put them above the muscle because they're training and I don't want to put them below the muscle, which I really disagree with. Unless, if you're a figure or fitness competitor, I still put them below the muscle. If you're really going to be a bodybuilder, you know, quote-unquote bodybuilder, really want to put on size and muscle, female bodybuilder, then I guess there's an argument for putting them above the muscle. But the problem when they're above the muscle is the only thing covering it is skin. Because basically these women have no fat,
right,
and they have very little breast tissue. So they just look like two balls.
Right.
And then over time, the skin gets thinner and thinner and thinner as we age, and they just look terrible. So the tough part for those women come in with them above the muscle and that don't like the way they look, I have to take them out from above the muscle and now put them below the muscle. And that can be tough. It can be challenging.
What would you say is the most popular implant that you do? Saline, silicone? What do the women seem to like the best?
Well, now I do about 75% silicone.
Really?
Yeah. Now, silicone's been back for about 2 years. It's a great, great product. It's different than the old silicone.
How so?
The old silicone was like a liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you cut open the implant, it would just leak out. It was like, you know, consistency of like oil. Now it's like a gummy bear or like a marshmallow. So if you cut it, it doesn't leak. It just stays, you know, it's like form stable. So it's such a better implant. It looks so much more natural.
Now, speaking of natural, do you use the round ones or the teardrop shaped, the sort of anatomical,
you know,
ones?
Basically aren't even around anymore.
Really?
Yeah, they're not. But, you know, the new implant, the silicone implants, when you hold them up, kind of take the shape of a teardrop. So they're smooth and they're round, and that's pretty much what everyone uses now.
Wow, I did not know that.
At least, what would you say most of the competitors have now in terms of either saline, silicone, or a lot of them switching?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've seen a lot of the girls have the silicone, and those in the saline are switching over to silicone. But I've learned a lot since working with Dr. Mike and listening on who's a better candidate for silicone or saline, and there's definitely a difference.
Well, who would be a better candidate for either?
Someone who, actually, Dr. Mike, you should really answer that. But
I still do saline on women who really like that full balloon look, like the so-called, you know, Pam Anderson look or stripper look, like they really like
that. John, you like that, right?
Right.
Top look. Yeah, some women actually come in and want that. They just say, I want to be really big and full on top.
The ones I send in.
Yeah. It's definitely an acquired taste. It's definitely acquired taste. Most women, though, like to look natural.
Mm-hmm.
The other good indication for saline is someone who's asymmetrical, like an A on one side, B on the other side.
Oh, you can adjust it.
You have to adjust it. So the saline, you kind of fill up as you go. So you could put a little more on one side than the other. Those are really the types I use.
What causes the ripples that you see when a woman gets lean?
Yep, exactly.
Is that the saline that causes the ripples?
Yeah, you know what? You're basically seeing the implant. So the saline implants ripple.
Uh-huh.
So that's why in someone who's really lean, you know, low body fat, you'll see it. But you can ripple from silicone too, and that's the problem with putting them above the muscle.
Even with the gummy bear ones you were talking about?
Well, the gummy bears, there's another version of them coming out that they're really, like, really firm, like much more. Mm-hmm. Those will not ripple at all.
Gotcha.
So those should be out, they're talking about next year. So that's probably going to change the industry again.
Now, when we talk about silicone versus gummy bear versus the liquid silicone,
right,
is there a price difference in these, or is it just a matter of, you know, they're pretty much all the same and it's whatever you prefer?
No, there's price difference. Saline is a lot less expensive than silicone. Silicone implants are about $750 each.
Wow.
And saline, I think, are like around, you know, $200 each.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it cost the same amount to get a revision or change in implant size as it does to initially just get the procedure? Is it the same price?
It's usually more for a revision because it's a lot.
You more know, work.
What I have to do? Yeah, it's more work. It depends what I have to do. So sometimes it's it's double the work. You have to take them out, close everything up, and then start, like you're doing a fresh case. So it's a little more work.
Where's your current practice right now located?
I have a surgery center in Rockland County, which is in between Westchester County and Bergen County, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 20 minutes north of Manhattan.
Okay.
And there I have a surgery center and my entire office. And then I have a satellite office in New Jersey, in Ridgewood, little satellite. And I'm in the process of, which Elise is helping me, open up a little satellite office in the city.
Are you going to be at all three places?
Yeah, I'm going to spend the majority of my time in my main office with my operating room. And then I'll spend like a half day in each of the other places.
Okay.
And mostly, because today with the internet and with the media and everything, I'm starting to become more visible on shows and stuff. People, will travel for distances.
They certainly
and
will.
If they see your work online and they like it, they'll come. I mean, I get people flying in from all over. So,
well, another accolade to your credit is the fact that you were the fight doctor at Madison Square Garden for several years.
Yeah, that was great.
What are some of the names that you worked on in the ring?
Oh, I basically did every fight at the Garden for about 7 years. So,
so you've done everybody.
I did everybody, from Tyson to De La Hoya to Lennox Lewis to, Trinidad. I mean, anyone you could imagine, I did. It was great.
Did you have to stitch up any of these guys when they got opened up?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Give us a good bloody story.
The interesting thing too, doing the fight stuff, is if you have the authority to stop a fight.
Right.
So a lot of these, I've been threatened, by corners. if you stop this fight, we're going to kill you. I mean, people get they get crazy. I was doing a tune up for, and the winner of the fight was getting to fight Tyson with a guaranteed $1 million purse. And one of the corners, he was cut, and they were trying to he was cut in like three different places, and I finally had to stop the fight, and I was fearful for my life at that point.
Well, I can imagine, though. I'm with $1 million in the ride.
It was good. It was it just got very difficult after a while to do the fights. It was just the time commitment was hard.
Have you ever been approached by any like mob guys to stop a fight?
No, I haven't.
You wouldn't tell us anyway.
I wouldn't tell you, but I'm sure that goes on. But I haven't been. But for me, I liked it because it was really trying to take the safety of these guys into account. And we would always do. New York State was very strict. We would do a very thorough physical, CAT scan, neurological. If we had any question, we wouldn't let them fight.
It was kind of cool that if they got cut, they got a plastic surgeon to close them up. That was good.
Really?
Yeah, and I was also the plastic surgeon, personally for some guys. They'd fly me around. The big guys have their own guys that come with them.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. Like De La Hoya and, I don't remember. I don't think Tyson did, but some of the real big
Tyson
guys
doesn't care.
would have their own guys.
They'll just get a tattoo to cover it. Yeah.
Exactly.
What about the Howard Stern show? You were on there?
I was on there. Actually, that was from boxing. They, I don't know if you ever listened, but they used to have, the listeners fight each other.
You were the fight doctor.
So I was a fight. Yeah. So they called me. I guess Gary knew me from the Garden, and he called me, and I was on the show. Actually, I was the doctor for the fight. They had the two listeners fighting.
What, do you remember which one it was?
Yeah, it was Crazy Cabby and Angry Black. You remember that?
Yeah.
Those guys were fighting, and I was a fight doctor. It was great.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, it was great.
Now, have you worked on any famous people over the years that we might know?
I've done a lot of athletes. I have done some actresses. Oh, yeah, I've done some actresses. I've done some actors. No one that's extremely high celebrity, but, some definitely known people.
What was the craziest technique you've ever been asked to perform on someone? Like, someone came into the office and said, I want you to do this, and you were just like, this is insane.
Well, obviously, you always get the calls for sex change stuff, which I don't do.
Right.
Penis enlargement, which I don't do. you get those calls all the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of call now for vaginoplasty or vaginal rejuvenation.
Right. Do you do that?
I don't do that. I never really got into it. But there are a few guys that are very busy in it now. It's becoming, really, really, dig.
You don't do like anal bleaching or anything like that?
Nope, I don't do that.
Because I know also, there's also, what's the other one, John, that we did the procedure where they do the
G-shot.
G-shots. They put like collagen injection into it.
I've been asked for that. Yeah,
oh, you have, yeah.
I don't know who does this stuff. I mean, this is stuff that is not in the textbooks. And you know, but there are people that that do it. What they do is they put Restylane in the G-spot, right, to try
yeah.
fill it up. It's supposed to work. But I never did.
What's the biggest, craziest size breast implant you've been asked to install?
I have put in, last year I did two very large ones. I did both over 1,000.
Over 1,000?
Holy moly.
Are those like custom jobs?
Custom, yeah.
Now, what's a procedure like that go for, including the bag?
I charge the same no matter what size you get.
Oh, really?
That's
yeah. yeah, but the implant itself has to be pretty expensive, right?
No, believe it or not, it's the same.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you get? Wait. Okay. Now, who and why?
Look, he's getting all excited.
I want to know. That's a retarded size. I mean, who would do? I mean, is there a porn star? I mean,
One was a porn star, and one was a dancer. And they both were like already like, you know, 600-700, and they just, you know what happens is they just go bigger and bigger. Yeah. That's what happens.
They
don't come in like an A and say, I want to be huge. They're already like huge and they want to be like ridiculous.
Don't they have like residual like back problems or something? I mean, how do you carry that around?
Yeah, you know, when they get older, they eventually take them out.
Oh, okay.
Is what happens. But I turn down a lot. If I have someone come in and they're already like, you know, an F or something, I won't do it. I'm very... I'm very conservative. You know, both these women were bigger women. They could handle it, so... But I normally do not do that.
How do you get the implant in when it's that big?
Well, you have to make a bigger incision.
What do you do? Under the breast you do it?
I like to go under the breast because it's... When you're naked, it's, you know, it's still invisible. And the saline comes empty, so you still don't have to make
it
big.
Right.
You know, if someone goes that big, you have to do saline.
Gotcha. So you can kind of slip it in the bag in and then just fill it up, huh?
Exactly. But I love doing the fitness stuff because I really like people that take care of their body. You know, I mean, for me, I hate when someone comes in and wants lipo, and then you know they smoke 2 packs a day, they don't exercise, they eat, you know, and then you try and tell them, you know, listen, this is part of a lifestyle, and they say, well, I'm not here for that. I'm here just to get lipo. That's why I don't work out, because I want to get lipo. You know.
Uh-huh. So you have turned people away then because you knew they were completely unrealistic.
I have. Someone comes in just totally out of shape and wants surgery, I say, listen, you have to start. And this is really why I'm excited to have Elise in, because I want someone, because I don't have the time to do it, although I could, I guess if I really put my mind to it, because I know a lot about that field and I love it. But I need someone like Elise that can take like a 40-year-old mom who's never worked out or done anything and can say, okay, this is how you work out, this is what you diet, and get them started. And then after 6 to 8 weeks, then we can go ahead and do a procedure on them.
Right.
Well, here's a question I have for both you and Elise. Why would a woman in her early 30s be getting Restylane or Botox? You know, these women are so young, and it seems like they don't need it. What would be the motivation behind that?
Well, the Botox, you can pretty much start any age out and have wrinkles. Believe it or not, I have women in the 20s. It just smooths out the forehead and a little wrinkles around the eye. It's a 5-minute procedure. It lasts about 4 months. It's not terribly expensive. So, it's a great wrinkle reduction. And I think women in their 30s, when they start noticing wrinkles, who do it, are happy with it. The Restylane in your 30s, a lot of times you don't need it, unless if you're like a figure, you know, competitor or very low body fat, it's nice to just give volume back. Because if you're like, you know, down, you know, under 10% body fat, your face is going to look drawn. So it's nice to just add some volume back in.
And it's kind of fun, too. I mean, it's like, it's for someone like, I'm not even 30, I'm a little under 30, but I mean, it's like getting your nails done. It's like you just go in and you get something done, you know?
Hold on. I've had Botox done. You know,
I've watched it.
My friend has gotten... It's not fun getting those little needles in your head.
Well, you know what? It's the results after that are so much fun.
It's like a tattoo almost.
Beauty is not necessarily painless.
There's only so much a makeup brush and, you know, concealer can hide.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a little bit in the cheeks or in the lips, even a young girl, sometimes makes a big difference, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I sometimes see these women that have so much Restylane in their face and or collagen, it almost looks like their face is puffy. Like I don't know if you've seen Joan Rivers lately.
Yeah,
is that? I mean, her surgeon should be shot. I mean, what's the deal with that?
You know, people say that about Joan Rivers all the time, and I think she looks great, only because she's 80 years old.
That's yeah. true. That is true.
She does. She looks good.
Put her next to, like, go to a nursing home and pull out a regular 80-year-old woman.
You're right.
Put her next to Joan Rivers, and, you know, if you had to choose one, you choose Joan Rivers every time.
I'm sure you would.
You know, so I mean, there's
choose
limits.
Her for what? I don't know.
but you know, there are limits. I mean, things are going to get overdone if you do too much. You're going to get an artificial look for sure.
Now, before we let you guys go, now, Elise, I understand you guys set up like days where like beauty days there at the clinic.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, we set up days where it's injection days that Dr. Mike has, and you can come in and you get your Dysport or your fillers. And I mean, it's like a 20-minute appointment, and you walk out, and
it's like a tune-up.
Yeah, it's kind of like a tune-up.
What days is that? You have one coming up soon.
Well, what I do is to kind of pass. I have a very loyal clientele, and that's the one nice thing about the injectables, that people come back a couple times a year, and you get to know them rather than just like you operate and never see them again. So what I do is, like, you know, 3 or 4 times a year, and I do it in conjunction with the company. I'll do like a high volume day. And I'll get a lower price on the product, and then I pass it on to the patient.
I see. That's great. When's the next one planned?
Well, we just had one Valentine's Day thing, so we haven't set another one up yet, but we're going to probably in a couple months.
The busier you get, you might have to start doing more than a couple times a year.
Yeah, possibly.
And I think I have to let girls know, especially these figure and fitness and bodybuilders, know that they should come in and get this done, like, a couple weeks prior to competing, because you think about it, like, you're the loss of elasticity in the skin with water depleting and things like that. So it's kind of, you know, it adds a nice little fresh
look.
They
could also bruise too, that's right.
Right, you don't want to do it the week before, in other words.
Right, so a couple weeks before, a month before.
How long does it last now? Because when I get Botox, it only lasts me like a month because my metabolism is so fast.
It should last 3 months at least. Yeah. I mean, the new stuff we use is called Dysport. And it lasts a little longer, but you should be between 3 and 4 months.
I got to come in, and you got to text it out.
Dave's just developed a taste for botulism. That's right.
Yeah. Well, also, you're very muscular, so you might not be getting enough.
Ah, that's a possibility.
You might not be getting enough units because you're pretty muscular, so you probably need more. Mm.
Now, do you sell like gift certificates or sort of packages that, you know, boyfriends can buy for girlfriends or husbands can buy for wives, and, you know,
we do all that every year. I wrap up.
Now, how do you do that so you're like not insulting? Like, you know, hey baby, here's a gift certificate. Go get fixed up, you know.
Every year I have a guy come in and buy his wife or girlfriend and breast implants. Like, he'll actually get the implant and put them under the tree, which I think is
really.
Yeah.
Every year he gets their new ones.
Every year I get one or two guys that do that.
Oh,
yeah.
different guys. Okay, I got you.
No, I think that's a great idea. I know I've done that at least 4 or 5 times,
and you might have a few more left in you too.
Got a couple good ones left in me,
Mike. I have to thank you very much for coming on board and sponsoring the site. I think you're doing some great work, and all the people in the industry would be stupid not to look you up and feel free to ask you questions. Do you have like an email or a place where people can actually, you know, contact you to ask questions?
My website has a lot of my work, before and afters, and a little bio about myself. Mm-hmm. And that's drfiorillo.com, which is FIORILLO.com. And I am going to try and make myself a little more visible at some of the shows.
Great.
I already go to a lot of the shows locally because I have, you know, a lot of friends that compete and a lot of friends that own gyms in the area.
Right.
So I go to a lot of shows, but I want to start coming maybe to some of the bigger shows if I can get the time.
Can our listeners just click the link on his banner on the RX Muscle site?
Yeah, the banner should be up Monday or Tuesday, and you click on the link and it'll take you right to his website.
And he does Q&A, doesn't he, on our site? You can ask him a question?
He will be.
I will.
Yeah. You will be doing. All right, so if you need to ask Dr. Fiorillo a question, you just go on the RX Muscle Plastic Surgery form, and he'll be there.
Ask away.
And so will I. I'm there.
Elise, you'll be
always
answering questions too. Okay.
Ask Elise.
Well, I want to thank both of you for stopping by, and keep us updated. And any new procedures that come out, you'll let us know.
Thank you so much. Nice talking to you guys.
Thanks, Dr. Mike.
Take care.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you, Elise, for coming on the show.
As always.
It's always nice to have a female voice, you know.
Yeah.
We don't do that very much anymore.
We've done it once.
Now that we have the girls show, you know, the girls will go on the girls show, so.
You guys ignore us now.
Yeah. I hear you cooking us some food for later?
I am? Oh, yes, I am.
You cook?
I was going to let you take credit for it.
I'm helping. I'm turning on the oven.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
What's waiting for us at home?
I think it's turkey.
Wow.
Turkey, wow. Mm. I feel like it's like a mini Thanksgiving on Valentine's Day.
Aren't you supposed to have chocolate?
We have a healthy Thanksgiving, John.
We're all dieting.
You can mush the chocolate in the shape of a turkey.
The Palumbo diet, remember.
Yeah, right.
We have a chocolate shake.
Ooh.
Well, Elise, thank you for sitting
You're
in with
welcome.
Us. And,
anytime.
We'll see you, I guess. You'll be at Phoenix?
No, I won't be at Phoenix, but I will be in Columbus.
You're doing
Ohio.
Hair and makeup, right?
Hair, makeup, tanning.
Wow. So if anyone needs spray tanning, how do they contact you?
Well, you can always stop and visit my site, elisefirestone.com, and also on the boards, you know, my Q&A on there. And,
do you have a sign up sheet or something like that? Or
No, they can just email me, elisefirestone@yahoo.com.
Okay. You heard it. If you need to be spray tan at the Arnold or any hair and makeup, photo shoots, anything like that, contact Elise Firestone.
Yep.
Thank you, Elise.
All right, guys. Thanks.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it.
RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great GAT products.
Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX.
For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights.
Post-workout Jet Mass.
After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover.
Premium protein, Muscle Teen.
Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training.
Shred and burn under Jet Fuel Pyro.
Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier.
Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is IFBB Pro Johnny Jackson, and you listen to Heavy Muscle Radio.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
All right, John, our next guest is the promoter of the new IFBB Phoenix Pro Show down in Phoenix, Arizona. Without further ado, let's bring him in, Stryker Solomon.
How you guys doing?
What's happening?
Hey, now you're, I gotta just tell you, Stryker, you're one of the few people to decide to hold a pro show and then go ahead and not just do one show, but you got five shows planned for this coming weekend on Saturday. You're going to be the first pro show of the year, which has got to make you feel good. You got a lot of good competitors lined up. What made you decide to go all out and just do, you know, women's bodybuilding, men's bodybuilding, 202, fitness, figure?
You know, well, the first thing is I'm a competitor, and that's where I come from. And when I go around competing and hearing people, oh, nobody gives us a break, nobody gives us a chance, nobody represents us, would be a fitness, bikini, how can we have only one category? What about the other category? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep it fair to everyone. I'm going to give every division a chance in my show and whatever show I do. But when I give them a chance, they need to be on that stage. And I'm really having a problem with the fitness people.
I notice
you. And when I look at the roster, I mean, I see one or two. Are they kidding me or what?
Yeah, why do you think that the fitness was such a small turnout?
I have no idea. Are they getting lazy or they don't want money? I'm giving them $6,000.
I know.
You know, and that's a lot of money.
And three Olympia invites out there.
I know. You know, there's an Olympia qualifier.
And I'm sure.
So what are they thinking?
And I'm sure there's 12 or 13 girls going to be in the Arnold Fitness, and you know only five of them are going to qualify for the Olympia. Well, why aren't those other girls doing your show? I don't get it.
Exactly. I don't get it either. So you know what? Next time, the next pro show I do, there will be no fitness.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm not getting the response from them. Like, I mean, they need to get up there and step up to the plate and do what they need to do for their division.
I agree.
Next show, you know what? It's bikini.
I agree. You know what? You should have. That was the next question we were going to ask you. But before we do, you got a very good turnout for the women's bodybuilding, I noticed. You got 12 good, 13 good competitors.
Yeah, I mean, one of them, Gail Moore, she's my staff. She works for me. And I promise her, I'm like, Gail, when I do my pro show, there will be a female bodybuilding division, no matter what. There will be a men's open, there will be a men's 2-2, and there will be female bodybuilding.
Well, you know, John and I like the female bodybuilding, the best division of all the women's divisions, because, you know, it's kind of like they're actually doing something up there. And
yes,
to me, the second best division was the fitness, because the fitness routines are so entertaining. I'm really shocked that you got such a small turnout for the fitness division.
You know, it puzzles me, you know, which saddens me that they're not there, but you know what? So be it. Next time, we'll know what to do. The bikini girls deserve a chance. We're going to give them what they need. The only reason we didn't do bikini this time because we don't feel there's enough pro bikini girls yet. But hopefully in the next 6 months or 8 months, there will be enough to where we can hold a stage for them. And they can be up there. And believe me, bikini girls come and represent.
So as far as the women's bikini division goes, are you saying there's definitely going to be one next time? Or, you know,
The next pro show that we host here in Arizona, in the next few months or so, there will be bikini. I don't know about fitness. Depending on the turnout, that's going to be on the 6th. But I know definitely that I will have bikini, the bikini division.
So next few months, does that mean you're doing other shows this year?
We're in the works of doing another show. We're in talks right now, the final talks. There will be a bigger pro show coming up with an amateur. It will be a pro-am. Here in Arizona, we're trying to pass through the Phoenix Pro and get ready for that later in the year, this year.
What time of year is that going to be?
Well, it's going to be another Olympia qualifier, so it'll be before the Olympia, something like that.
Well, you know, it's a week to your show, right? Less than a week, 5 days.
Well, there's still enough time to start a bikini division. The girls can get in shape in a week.
They don't even need to be in shape, John, for a bikini.
I won't doubt it, man. Yeah. I think you're right about that, but, you know, let's wait.
You can shit can that turned out fitness division and give the money to some bikini girls. I'm sure in 5 days you'd get a lot more them than fitness girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe me, if I go up, I mean, get announced right now I'm having a bikini, I'll at least have 20 girls here in Arizona that are top national quality bikini girls.
Yeah, you would.
You know, and I won't have a problem.
They only have to diet for 2-3 days. You know, what I want to know is when is Stryker Solomon going to be able to sneak another pro show into the schedule? I don't think there's any days open.
There will be before the Olympia. We're working on it, and we're trying to see the work on the timing and stuff like that. I'm talking to my CEO and my operations. We're trying to see how best we can do it to represent the athletes. You see, my main job when I got into this is to help the athletes. If whether be it an Olympia qualifier or pro qualifier or national qualifier, how can we get them to the next level? How soon can we get them there? What works for them? So we have to think of those things before we put the show on or announce the show.
Well, you got a great men's show plan, all right? You got some really top competitors, Tony Freeman and Quincy Taylor and Troy Alves and Melvin Anthony, and among some newcomers, Mike Liberatore, you have Johnny Jackson, you have, I mean, you can't ask for a better pro lineup. Give us a rundown of how these events will run on Saturday, because everything's happening on that Saturday, and just give us, you know, what's the order we're going to see this stuff occur in?
Let me see. I hope I have my I don't have my program here with me, but I think the menstrual tool will be the first to come out. It'll be on the website. I think by Monday or Tuesday morning, the whole thing will be on the website.
Perfect.
I just don't have my program here with me to really tell you exactly the rundown of the event.
What is the website?
Prejudging. It's www.strikerx.com, and they can get all the info they need.
Now, from what I understand, are you going to be broadcasting a live webcast?
Yes, I'm doing a live broadcast pay-per-view to help generate more money for the next sanction fee. It's not so much for us to make money. It's just to get the money together for the next sanction fee and move on with that. So one show helps the other. So what we're asking people that overseas and out of state, you know what, log on, pay for it. It's only $20. It's not the end of the world. $20, you can spend $20 on a protein shake. So help us out, and it goes to the athletes. It doesn't go in my pocket. You know how it works.
Now is this going to be a high-quality webcast?
Yes. See.
All right.
And we have a commercial going on cable here in Arizona for the Phoenix Pro and the cable and the pay-per-view service we have going on. It's just to help us bring another show.
Mm. Now, do you have any special events planned to coincide with the show?
In reference to
Any kind of added attractions to the weekend? You have any kind of
after parties or
you know, as special entertainment?
Forget, we know you guys got to have a little fun after the show, you know. So we got a little after party for you guys, and so you can go have fun and laugh at me if you want, you know, stuff like that.
And how can people buy tickets, Stryker?
It's very simple, man. They log on to my website, and there will be a link there to the Ticketmaster. To get on StrikerX.com, there will be a link there for Ticketmaster at the Mesa Arts Center. It will take them straight through, and they'll get all the tickets they need.
Okay, so that's that's StrikerX.com, StrikerX.com, and you can get all your tickets there and all the show information.
Yep. There's a link on the site. It'll take them right in. StrikerX.com.
Well, Stryker, you're doing a phenomenal job. I got to just tell you and congratulate you in advance, because I think what you're doing is great. You're giving back to the sport. You're giving these athletes an opportunity to make some money, get qualified for the Olympia, and you're giving us the first entertainment of the year 2 weeks prior to the Arnold. So that's great. You're giving a lot of the new pros an opportunity to try to qualify for their first Olympia. And I'm really psyched that you're going to be doing another show a little later this year, too. That's great for the sport.
Why not? I mean, you know, I'm going to give them every chance there is. So I want nobody going around the Nationals. I'm going around to the Olympia and crying, oh, you know, we don't get this, we don't get. I'm giving them every opportunity out there, you know, and it's costing me a lot of money. I to give them that shot and that chance to represent them. So I need them up there on that stage and performing.
I can only imagine what it's costing you.
Believe me, you don't want to know. I'm serious, you know, and... You know, the money is priceless when I see these athletes on the stage and doing their best. And I see that I've done it. I've changed someone's life for the better, something positive. And the money becomes, I mean, that moment is priceless. The money doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but in the beginning, when you spend all that money, oh, my God, you're writing all these big checks and this sanction fee, prize money. Those are things you got to come up with in advance, months in advance.
Sure.
And then you don't forget you have venue, you have staff, you got to fly people in a hotel and... I mean, it's ridiculous. The money just keeps going and going, you know. But that little moment on stage, when you've impacted someone's life and they're out there and they did something that's impacted another one's life and the community as a whole, the bodybuilding community, that moment is priceless. And you know where I'm coming from, you know.
Of course.
We're up there on stage when you compete and you're up there on stage. And when you handed that trophy or that top five position, and that moment is priceless. There's no money. It doesn't matter how much money you've spent. But at that point, right there, I mean, there's nothing that amounts to it.
Well, Stryker, we will be out there on early Friday morning. I'll be visiting the Heart Attack Grill for a nice little pre-contest meal, you know, since I'm not getting up on stage. And then we will be there all day Saturday covering your show, and we'll be there Sunday with some photo shoots. Thank you for inviting us and for giving us and rolling out the red carpet for us. And good luck to Saturday, and we'll hopefully it's going to turn out to be a great show.
Thank you. Can't wait to see you guys.
All right, John. That was Stryker Solomon, the promoter of the Phoenix Pro Show. I will be out there with a couple of the boys on Saturday to cover the show. And he sounds like he's, you know, look, you know, I know what it costs to put on a pro show between the sanction fees, the auditorium, the prize money for all these divisions. This guy is laying out a lot of freaking money, and I'm sure he's not making it back, not right. on a first year show. So this guy obviously loves what he's doing. He's even planning on having a second show sometime this year. So I think the people and the athletes should really rally behind what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm really surprised at the fitness girls. I mean, that's really shocking because, you know, there's a decent amount of money at stake. There's certainly Olympia qualifications yeah. at stake. And to have such a paucity of competitors show up and...
Second time you used that word.
Well, this time I used it correctly. you know, it's just... I don't get it, man. I agree with him. I just don't get it. How could there be such a small number of people interested in taking home, not only taking home money, but that Olympia qualification?
You're right. I feel like calling every one of those 13 girls they got in the Arnold and saying, why aren't you doing this
exactly.
show?
Exactly. It's a week before, right. 2 weeks before.
Because if any of them place top three,
that's okay. the Olympia.
They just paid for their trip,
right.
too.
Exactly.
And they're going to the Olympia.
You know, I wasn't kidding when I said he should just shit can the whole division and invite Bikini.
And he probably would fill up the thing in a week.
He'd yeah. get 30, 40 girls in a week.
Probably, because those girls don't care. They'll get on an airplane on yeah, a moment's
they
notice.
They only need to diet for 48 hours, so, you know, it's perfect.
If that much.
If that, if at all.
If they diet that long, they may be too hard.
I think, you know, and it's certainly a better treat for the crowd, you know. If the, yeah. What would you rather see, 40 Bikini girls or 12 yeah. fitness girls?
Well, I'm psyched. We got our little contact down there. I'm going to be hitting, like I said, the heart attack girl. I also hit, and I think there's a good sushi place around there as well.
Sushi,
I heard yeah. the weather's nice over there, and at least compared to what we got here, it's got to be better.
This isn't weather here.
No, this is
torture.
We don't talk about the weather on the show.
Speaking of weather, I hear that you've been training at the same gym as Kenny Jones, Jeff.
There's a lot of things that people say about me, Dave, but it's not true. For example, I don't go around telling people that I'm a karate champion, that I'll kick their ass. I don't care how big they are. But this guy, Jeff, he's a fucking smartass.
You know, I noticed that Jeff's impression of Kenny Jones has gotten a lot better yeah. since he's been hanging around.
Yeah, actually, him. You're the one that taught me how to do
that's
him better.
That's right. You the right Kenny Jones. Yeah. You got to talk out of the corner. Yeah, right. If you don't do that, you don't get the right Kenny Jones.
That's funny. We have that in common. Kenny used to train at my gym in Florida. And then you know,
I was friends with him too for a while. Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. It's
We've
like,
all trained with him.
He's like Kevin Bacon, you know?
Yeah.
He's
6 degrees of Kenny Jones.
You know, you make fun of him with his karate. I will say, I personally watched him clean out a bar
really?
In Fort Lauderdale.
Kenny Jones?
The second floor of the elbow room. He cleaned it out. He must have beat the shit out of 10 guys.
Like with like karate chops?
Like fighting. Like
yeah. You want to know how I got started with that? I was on the beach. This guy came by, kicked some sand in my face. I'm just kidding. John.
Yeah, I think he's a second or third or fourth degree black belt.
He really was knocking guys out?
Flying down the stairs, over the railings. It was like a movie.
How did it start? Though. Who would start with Kenny Jones?
Somebody fucked with him, you know, because
he probably was mouthing off.
He's probably mouthing because he's a IFBB pro bodybuilder.
And they probably told him that they don't believe him or something.
Don't you know who I am? I'm IFBB pro Kenny Jones.
And he beat freaking cleaned that place out.
You know, they told me that they were going to clean up the GH gun. They never did it. They took my props away, too.
Here I am giving him props for cleaning out the bar, and he's not paying any attention to that.
You know, he's perfect. Now you have the impression perfect.
Right.
As soon as you started talking out of the corner of your mouth.
Yeah, you had to talk out of the corner.
Well, I'm getting Kenny Jones into the studio.
Now he's here. He's got to come
in. I got to get him in to do his Michael Jackson routine. And now I got to see some karate moves.
I'm telling
Maybe he could take on the Jimmy the Bull. We'll have Jimmy come at him and try to, you know, like.
He's lethal. I saw it happen. If I hadn't seen it happen, I never would have believed
it.
You
think he could kick Derek Anthony's ass?
You know what?
He's afraid to say anything.
You know why? Because I don't want the 14 texts I'm going to get later. That's why. Him threatening me and you know, I love
that
Derek.
That would be a good fight probably, right? How about Mr. G?
I think the fight would last 1 second. Kenny's lethal.
Really?
Yes.
I never knew that about him.
He is lethal.
I knew he was lethal in other ways, but I didn't know that he was lethal physically.
He's fast and he's powerful.
Yeah, he's got good flexibility too. Yeah. I've seen that, but... Anyway, well, it is Valentine's Day, John. I think you had one more story you wanted to bring up, right?
Well, yeah, you know, we were talking about all these successful relationships or ways to make relationships successful. I don't know if you've ever watched that show on, I don't know, it's Discovery or the Learning Channel or what A&E. It's called Taboo. Mm-hmm. And
it's a good porn movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Was Mickey Rourke in that?
I think so. There's this guy who does not date what he calls organic women. He has a relationship with a doll.
Really?
And he has a life-size, real, you know,
like one of those sex dolls, like Howard Stern used to have.
Yeah, but this doll looks like it costs about $50,000. It looks like a dead body.
Yeah, I've seen the Howard Stern one.
It's real heavy. It's got skin, and he dresses it up and puts makeup on it, and he sits it in the couch.
Like $5,000 each.
And he makes out with it and does God knows what else with it. But he actually
has sex with the doll.
He does everything with the doll. Mm-hmm. He carries on a full fledged one sided talk about unrequited love. He's
talking. He gets no lift back. One side. Sure.
He gets no problem. So, do you remember there was a movie called Cherry 2000?
Yes, I like that movie.
That was the ideal right there. That's if you could turn back that thing animated, you know, and have it come to life.
Or even like Weird Science. I mean, right?
The Weird Science was cool.
That was also
Kelly LeBrock.
Oh, she was hot back in the day.
Smoking hot.
You know, as I watch the movie nowadays, because when you're in high school, like that skinny look with the big hair and the beautiful blue eyes.
That was the
80s. That was like the look. Now I look back, I'm like, she was a little too skinny and, you know, the hair was too big, but whatever.
Her boobs weren't big enough.
Yeah, it's true. So, times change, man.
Yeah, but I just saw, you know what? Because you brought it up a few weeks ago, I just saw Fast Times again.
Did you really saw
that scene with Phoebe, whatever her name is.
Phoebe Cates.
Jesus Christ, man.
Coming out of the water. Yeah.
Brought back memories.
Phoebe Cates. Memories.
Yeah, Phoebe Cates.
What's his name? What was that guy's name? Judd something another?
I forget.
He was jerking off in the bathroom. And she walks in.
That
was classic. That was great. One of my favorite scenes of all time. But anyway, we're out of time now. It's Valentine's Day. Sean Andros' mom and dad came in. They're cooking me some Thanksgiving dinner on Valentine's Day. So,
it's Valentine's Day dinner.
Valentine's Day dinner, yeah. But whenever I hear turkey, I always think Thanksgiving.
That's a shame, too, because turkey's so much more than a one meal a year food.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. But anyway, we're out of time, so I'd like to thank our guest, Lonnie Tieper, Stryker Solomon, and of course, Dr. Mike Fiorillo for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.